Herspiration Happy Hour.
Happy Wednesday and welcome to Herspiration Happy Hour. Woo! Still in season three, but not much longer.
Right?
This is your unapologetic diva, Dr. G.
And this is Cortina Peters, aka the girlfriend therapist. And since Miss Radio Red is not with us today, I will be doing the honors of pouring our drinks tonight. So tonight's drink for this episode for our alcoholic beverage, we have Bootstrap Bourbon, and that is Tennessee whiskey, sweet red vermouth, a dash of bitters, and you garnish that with cherry. Now, our bra strap mocktail is the bra strap berry punch, and that is Tropicana berry punch, a spritz of Sprite, and you garnish that with a cherry as well. So, yes. So, how are you doing today?
I'm good, but you know what? Honestly, I would take either of those, mocktail or cocktail. They both sound really refreshing and good.
You know, it's so funny because we're sitting, you know, you say it sounds very refreshing. Well, that's exactly how tonight guest is, very refreshing.
Exactly.
You know, and how you are pulling yourself up and getting on your way to what you have been destined to become. So with that being said, I think I'm going to go ahead and share my Women Crush Wednesday, since that is something we always do. Every episode, we want to uplift and highlight a phenomenal woman who is doing the damn thing.
Yes.
And I want to go ahead and highlight, because, you know, we have been in this election process for what seems like forever.
Yeah.
So I want to uplift Kamala Harris.
Woo! Okay. I'm with that.
I mean, you know, a lot of people have their opinions about her. However, no matter what your political opinion of her is, she is breaking barriers. She is setting standards. The first Black, like a real for real front runner in this presidential election cycle. And I just want to say how proud of her I am. You know, you're always going to have naysayers and people who don't agree with everything that you do. But it seems like she's just kind of put those naysayers to the side and did what she needed to do. Like I said, whether you agree with some of her tactics or not, when she started off in her career, you know, sometimes you have to be able to play the game in order to get to where you want to be. Not saying stepping on people is something you want to do, but I absolutely commend her for where she is in her career. And she went to a HBCU. So, yeah.
She went to Howard.
She did. She did. She did. So,
I definitely agree. And I think, what is she, like, Black and Asian?
Indian.
Yeah. I could have swore somebody said I think it was in the conversation about her being, because she's multiracial.
Yeah, but they were saying that she denied her Black side and only embraced her Indian side. I don't give a damn. She right now, from what I know, she identifies as Black. So that's what I'm going to take it as. You know, if you multiracial, sometimes you're going to embrace other parts depending on, you know, where you are. Not saying you're minimizing, but if I'm saying I am the first Black something, maybe she was in other spaces where the Black didn't necessarily matter because she was surrounded around Black.
But you know what? I think where she came up in California, she was surrounded around Blacks, but she is actually, I'm almost 100%, she mentioned that she is of Black and Asian descent. Like, I think it's her mother that's Asian and her father is Black, or vice versa. But I'm 100% sure of that, one of her parents are from South Asia. Because I do follow some political things.
I don't know. I thought it was Indian, from India.
No, you know, it could be India, but no, I do 100% know that. I think that's the controversy is, but you also look at Barack Obama, whose dad was African, you know.
But they accepted him as Black. You know what? And I think that, I'm talking about Black people. When I'm talking about, I ain't talking about the other people. I'm talking about Black people. There are some Black people I've never, for me, and I ain't heard all the conversations, have people fight about whether Barack Obama was Black enough. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
With her, I hear Black people saying, oh, she don't claim Black and all this other kind of foolishness like that. So that's where I'm coming from.
Yeah, well, I know her mother was Asian or Asian descent. I'm not sure how far. I just know her mother was of Asian descent. So, you know, and her dad was Black. So, you know, she is of Blasian descent, which, you know what, I feel like you know how I feel about this being multi-ethnic myself. So I have to go back to, she shouldn't have to choose. If her mother was one thing, her dad was another thing, it makes her a blend of both. She should have the right to celebrate both of who she is, hands down. So we don't need to look at the necessarily the ethnic value that she gives to her people. I just think that she should be regarded as her impact to this community and this world. And that is what, you know, that's what I'm hands down going to say. That's how I feel like people should vote. And I know that her past decisions have not always been the best for Black people, but I also think that people should look at her last 5 to 10 year track of what she has done in Congress. And, you know, because Congress makes more decisions than a state representative.
Oh yeah. And you can only work within the confines of the law.
Exactly. You know, and I'm talking like district attorneys, you know, governor and all those.
Absolutely.
I'm talking about federal. Her federal position should always be in play, and the changes that has grown. And so if you look at her last 10 years, you know, what has she done? And I think that's the impact that should really matter, you know. And I know here everybody's past is sketchy, and he without no sins cast the first stone. I'd like to see that, because nobody can cast a stone. So here again, I go back and I stand, you know, I stand by that. But here and there, I commend you for your choice of, you know, your WCW for today, because I actually love Kamala Harris and the things that she stands behind. And I love just she's authentically her.
Yeah.
And going to stand behind her principles.
Yeah. And it says here that her mom was from India and her dad is from Jamaica.
Oh, wow. Oh, South Asia.
Yeah.
Yeah. South Asia. Well, I didn't know Indian.
I think she's from India.
Sometimes India, when you say Indian, people think Native American.
Oh, no, I wasn't talking about Native American. No.
So South American, well, it's not South American, but South Asian.
Asia, yeah.
South Asian Indian, yeah. So that's still really interesting. So I love yours. So you know what? Speaking of, you know, when we talk about the topic of, you know, people making impacts, I feel like Black literacy is a huge thing for me. I'm an advocate for it. You're an advocate for it, as we both are authors. I am going to give a shout out to Livy Zoe today. Because I think that, you know, when you, you know, write, or when you have the ability to write fiction that can take you out of your comfort zone and make you think differently about the world and how it just takes you away, I think that's such a gift, character building and all of that stuff. And then as well as the author breaking barriers into interracial relationships and what that means. And at the same time, like, you know, Kamala Harris being multiracial, that you can take that and bridge the gap between the two, so that not only do you look at the Black perspective, but you also look at another perspective, even if it's not necessarily, you know, with the norm of how character, you know, character building means, you know, comes about. I love that she explores that and she challenges that. So I'm giving a shout out to Livy Zoe today, and I'm hoping much success for her, because she's a great author, she's a great writer, and she's a great storyteller that bridges the gap to make people see things a little bit different, especially in a world where there's so much adversity and different comes to interracial relationships.
And I think our guest also would appreciate that, considering she's an author herself. So
I know.
It's going to be all authors on this particular episode, which is absolutely great.
Oh, I know. So, you know, with that, you know, when we talk about struggles in life and things that knock you down and build you up, this is like the prime time to bring in our guest today, who has, when I read her bio about being homeless and really just understanding struggle and everything that you go through in life and still being able to be positive through it all to make a success of yourself, I think that has a lot of meaning. And so with that, we're going to, you know, introduce our guest for today. today, Miss Sheila Mack in the house, who is an author extraordinaire, because I, you know, Sheila, I'm just going to have to tell you, I really have no words, but I do love your title of your book, Bootstraps and Bra Straps. I've worn boots and I've had to pull out my bootstraps being prior service. I also, you know, I have double D boobs, so I know the weight of that and having to tug them up when I feel like slumping. So I'm so interested for you to share your story with the world. And so with that, introduce yourself, please, to our listeners.
All right. Hi, everyone. I'm Sheila Mack. I am the author of the Bootstraps and Bra Straps book and also a show host. I have my own Sheila Mack show, and it goes more into how to get back on track. So I also interview people there. And one of the things, the inspiration behind writing that book was in 2017, my house burned down and my car and my cat and all, and I lost everything in a day, you know, and I had to start over again. I used the formula that I've used over and over again in my life, from all these different, from being homeless as a kid, going through foster care, all these different situations that I've had. And I said, wait a minute, I want to have a book and a program that where people can actually connect in community and get resources that I have to share, and then additional resources. Do you know, this year, we've had some situations. It took me a year to write the book. I didn't expect all this, but this has been some serious situations to get past and through. And people don't know. Do you know, I've talked to so many people that didn't even know there's this 211. And 211 is the 411.
Wait a minute, back up. What? Yes. 211.
This is 211. Yes, so a resource hotline.
Yes, so some people know, some people have never heard of it. And I think it is so important to get that message out, because people are looking for resources this year. So it has mental health referrals, it has suicide prevention, it has housing help. If you're losing your home right now, or you're going through, now they're going to kick you out because of the rent situation and COVID and this and that. This will give people the resources. If you need a food bank, if you need to get help now, that's in your state. So you can Google 211 and your state name, and you get a list of all these incredible extra resources. And I think back, oh, wow, if I had resources back in the day when I was going through my tough situations, when I was homeless, I was homeless from 10 to 13 and a half. And I did not know there was foster care. I'm a little kid. I'm like working, I'm selling candies and with this junior careers, I'm sleeping on benches at the troubadour and friends' houses, making all kinds of friends just so I have a place to stay at night. And I said, foster care, what is that? Wow, I didn't know that I could just like go to school and have somebody else help me out for a few years. I emancipated at 15, but I didn't even know. So to get the resources to people that really need them now, this year, is going to make all the difference.
Where do you find your strength? Like, where does that internal motivating factor that just pushes you to keep going? Because you've had to survive from a very young age.
Yes.
So where is the tenacity to keep going and not give up and not throw the towel in and to share your light with other people?
So when I was a really young girl, maybe 5 years old, I was staying with one of my grandparents, and my grandmother ran a business, and she ran a manufacturing company. So she made bras. That's why I've got the bra in the book. Okay. And so she'd sit down with these other ladies that were the neighbors. This is Los Angeles area. So there was a diverse group of people from every culture. And these were ladies that were probably in their late 60s to 80s. And they would all sit down. And, you know, I'm there with my grandmother. So they're like, okay, just sit here and have tea with us. But they're telling their stories. They're talking about what they went through, their experiences, their hardships, real living history, and what they had to experience. They were stoic women that never lost their feminine, and they were leaders. And so I looked up to them and I thought, oh, wow, I'm going to have my own adventure and my own story to tell one day. And so when I went through my hard times as a young girl, I was like, okay, this is like the way it's supposed to be. And I know I took those ladies' stories with me, and they were with me in my heart wherever I went. and I knew that I was gonna make it just like they did.
You know, I have to ask a question. What made you emancipate at 15?
Okay, so this was funny. When I went to foster care, I had been working at this Junior Careers, and so I went to David and Margaret Girls Home in California in Laverne, and it was group homes. We had a beautiful home. We got to go to school, and we were allowed to work. And they had an old orphanage building. It must have been 20,000 square feet that a couple had purchased and made into a museum. And they lived there. They made it a museum. It was the lady, Pamela Weston Whipple from the Weston Hotel. So she was designing Hawaii's Weston. And the husband had art, Michael Whipple. He had art in the White House at Carter's administration. And he did the dragon in Never Ending Story. And so I go and I knock on the door and I said, hi, I'm Sheila and I want to be your personal assistant. And they hired me. And so So I'm in the group home and I'm going to the group home and I'm, you know, in that world. And then I'm going over here and we're doing events and I'm meeting, you know, the astronauts and all these famous people. And I'm like their little apprentice. And they tried to become a foster family for me. They could not do that. And then they ended up getting divorced. And it was like, for me, they were family. They, you know, 'cause I didn't have family visit me. And so they got divorced and I felt so bad. And I thought, okay, they had convinced me that I could do anything, you know, like you need somebody to believe in you. And it doesn't matter, you know, sometimes that's all a person needs. And then you can go from there and some training and help, you know, they really showed me how to do different things. And so then I thought, well, I'm going to be famous. And, you know, kids in California, I don't know, it's a California thing. And I went to this talent agency and it was Janice Patterson Talent Agency. And the day I didn't have like a portfolio, I didn't have anything you're supposed to have. I didn't even know. I just said, I'm going to be famous. And the other girls laughed at me. Yeah, right. And I was like, yes, watch. And I walked in there and I got the Dove commercial because they were doing the tryouts for the Dove commercial. And they said, okay, you know, you've got nice skin. You're perfect for the part. I looked older than I was, I guess. And the thing was my probation officer, you have a probation officer when you're in foster care.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. Yeah. In California, I think different states may do it differently. And so I had a probation officer and he said, no, I can't sign the form. Your grandparents on the other side are the ones that can sign because they're your legal guardians. Mm. And they hadn't talked to me in years. And I was like, okay. They refused to sign the forms because they said they're sure I'd get into drugs with all the money I'd make. I don't think they pay that much for these commercials. Okay, really? And so I decided, hey, you know, I don't want anybody to be able to tell me I can't pursue a dream. Mm-hmm. And that's why I emancipated and went. I just graduated from high school early and then went to college early and moved on from there.
Were you ever able to do the Dove commercial since they would not sign for you?
No, I did other commercials. Okay. So I put that out of my system.
Did you have any resentments toward them because they stopped? Like maybe something like you were super excited about and you were embracing it when they refused. So that was almost like a rejection. Maybe you have been dealing with some rejection from your past. So that's another door closed. Did you have any residual feelings or emotions towards them about closing that door for you?
I did. And, you know, it's really interesting because later in life, you know, I had my children. I had my son when I was very young. I thought I was old, you know, how that is. And so I had my first son when I was 18. And then at a certain point, my grandmother said, oh, grandpa's sick. Then she reaches out to me after not talking to me for years. Can you help me? Mm-hmm. And I did. I helped my grandparents. I helped my mother. I bought her a house. I gave back out of, okay, you know, maybe they weren't in the right place. They had their own journey they were going through. And I felt it was the right thing for me to do. So I never really wanted to hold resentment. There's something about that just makes you physically sick.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's deep. I commend you for that. I honestly do. So I'm, you know, you don't have to say if you don't want to, but what is your family, you know, structure like now for you? Do you still have the same relationship with them? Or, you know, because I'm just going to be honest, sometimes family only calls you when they need you.
Yes.
And they're for them when they need you, but sometimes reality kicks in and say, I've had enough.
Right.
I can only be used for so long. I'm not saying that's your situation. I'm just saying, so I'm just asking, after all you did to be selfless,
mm-hmm.
this time, has things changed in the dynamic of your relationship with your family?
You know, they all passed away.
Mm.
And it came within a very short period of time, over a 5-year span, that, mm-hmm. you know, they had different health conditions. One had an auto accident. And so I lost everybody quickly. And it was interesting because my little children got to know the grandparents in a different way. Mm-hmm. And there were people that maybe they weren't as safe or healthy to be around. So we'd meet at a church, or we'd meet at a different place that was a safe place, and it would be a limited time, because there are people that are, maybe they have a mental thing going on. Maybe there's something not right. Maybe they're doing drugs. Maybe they're doing mm-hmm. something that's not healthy for your family. So that's where setting really strong boundaries and deciding what, you know, how much they get of your time.
Yeah.
Yes. So that made a difference.
What, growing up the way that you did, how did that impact the way that you raise your own children?
Yes. So, I had my first son, and the doctor said, you can't have any more. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, thought, well, that's not right. I really want to have more children. I don't want my child to be alone. So we ended up foster to adopting 3 children.
Okay.
And then from that, then I find out I have these 2 surprise babies later on in life. And so then that's how 6 happened.
Okay.
And it was the other way that I gave back was I opened gift stores at 23, and then I had 4 of them, and I ended up working with the government. They had a job training partnership act, and I was a training facility with my gift stores, and I had over 100 at-risk youth, mostly emancipating from foster care, that came through the store, learned every aspect of running a business. They would get recommendations to go get a job at, you know, a bigger company than my little stores, and a lot of them have started their own companies. This was a long time ago now, and back when I was 23, I started them. And some of them have their own companies today. We still talk. They were like an extension of my family. So I believe my gift stores, because they came with heart, and it was giving back to the community, that's why we were so blessed and successful. Mm-hmm.
Your gift stores were a gift, because you have to look at it this way. My mom works in foster care, and there are so many children that just need a hand and just need someone to believe in them. I remember when I was at Planned Parenthood, we had a partnership with an aging out home, almost, when you're almost there, called Vita Nova. And we were there, and they had some horrific stories, but some of the most resilient children that you could ever imagine, being so young and having to see some of the stuff they've endured, and people, again, rejecting them, not wanting them, not wanting them, but not having the capacity mm-hmm. to care for them the way that they needed to. And just seeing how they thrived when they felt like someone cared for them. Maybe in the beginning they had a little reactive attachment, because they're so used to people leaving them and closing the door on them, that they're like, I'm not sure, because as soon as I get close to you, you're going to leave me. But you being able to be a staple for individuals that you had gone down their same path, like, I was there with you. And so what was that bonding like for you to be able to say, I was where you are, and this is where you can be?
Yes. You know, it's something that was such a gift to be able to go to other homes. I worked with boys' homes and girls' homes. And when I would go in there, it was a gift to be able to connect. And they knew that we spoke the same language mm-hmm. and had the same journey. And I think that was the biggest gift of all. Like, when I emancipated, I had to go to camp for 6 months. They said, well, you have to go to camp while you're going to court. And they took me out of the one home and put me in this camp for really bad kids. And that, oh my, I mean, like, they took somebody's eye out, they killed another kid. I mean, these were kids that had done things like, I don't even have a rap sheet. Okay, awesome. And yet I got to know these kids on a soul level and hear their stories and, whoa, what the parents did or what happened and what brought them to have anger, have so much going on in their life, or make a choice that was a not so good choice. and where their hearts were and what they were really looking to do in their life. And I think that was the greatest gift of all, to be able to do that. Now, I have a very diverse family. We've got a rainbow and it's incredible. And there are differences in how we're all treated. That's one thing I worked on for 20 years, is equal education for all children everywhere, not based on our zip code, which is something that's very important that is not happening today. And so that's something that needs to be worked on. And my children were involved with whatever I was doing with these campaigns. Now that we're in political season, not to be political, but they were involved with that. And my daughter, for instance, is studying psychology from the age of 22. She's worked, and now she's 24. She's worked at a girls' home as a counselor for pregnant moms and their babies. It's very volatile, and she looks probably 16. Like, she looks really young. And yet she's able to work with these young girls and the babies because she's been around that her whole life. Mm-hmm. And she gets that, and that's her passion. And it's just fun to see how that happens.
Well, I will have to say, I have to share that Cortina and I both have behavioral health backgrounds, but I will also say that Cortina is, well, I left it. She continued with it. And so she is actually a mental health counselor. So this is
licensed mental health counselor, okay, in private practice.
Licensed. Okay. You know what? First of all, anybody who listens to us should know that you are licensed in several things regarding mental health. She does, a drug and alcohol dependency. Mm-hmm. She also does, sexual identity. So, she's not just your normal mental health counselor. Whereas to me, I actually, I didn't specialize because I was very general, but I worked for the military, which makes you almost general. but I chose not to stay that in that field, but stay very connected. So she and I share the same mental aspect of it when it comes to therapy and even, children and behavioral health and just all around just mental health and the effects that it has on society. So I really do commend you on everything that you've done and
absolutely and
are doing. Because, my mother, well, in San Antonio and most other places, is called a CASA, a court-appointed special advocate for children. Now in Alabama, where it's a CAJA, I don't know what the J means. Maybe it's a court-appointed judicial advocate. I don't know. But because I've never looked into it. But my mother has been, she's NAMI certified for, for children with autism. And so my mom is very much so into that. And so it's still very near and dear to me when it comes to this children in general in the system.
Yes.
Period. I don't care what you're in the system for. If you're in the system, whether you are special needs or non-special needs, where I still feel like if you're in the system, you're special needs, regardless, regardless of your mental status. And so I commend that your children are on board. That is so special, and that you are making an extra effort for kids who don't have a voice, because that takes it. It makes me very emotional, because it takes a very special person to have a voice for people who can't speak, who don't understand. Because you said that, even when you was emancipated and when before you was going through when you was first in the system, you didn't understand. And to me, I feel like that system is not child friendly because they don't understand. A lot of those people who are advocating for the system have not been in the system. So when you have someone who have been in the system, it separates, and I'm going to say it separates. It doesn't differentiate. It separates the know from the misunderstood.
Yes. I mean, it's really interesting because my daughter said when she got in there, first of all, the other kids thought she was a resident, and because she looked so young, they were like, what are you here for?
Where's your baby?
Yeah. And then she said she had counselors and people that had just been hired in that they didn't last more than a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Because they couldn't deal with what happens is you're going to get pushback.
Yeah.
They're going to test you. You will be tested. They want to see, are you going to stick around? Like you were saying earlier.
That's it.
And you're going to get tested. And so you've got to be firm, but loving, and have that energy come in as I actually care. And that's, she loves it there. She loves what she's doing.
Is that an area that she wants to stay in?
Yes.
And I'm asking because group homes for teen moms is so hard to come by. My mom, I don't know if you know, I don't know if she talked to you about this, but that's what she's actually opening a group home for pregnant mothers because they cannot stay in the foster house. They cannot go to a regular group home. And so when they become pregnant, it's almost like finding placement. And I can only speak for the state of Florida. It's so hard. That there's such a need. So when you said that, like my spirit lit up and I was like, is that something, does she have any aspirations or you have any aspirations to continue that and possibly open something for that specialized population?
Well, I've never thought about opening something, but you never know.
We actually have that here in Maryland. We do have homes just for pregnant moms. So they are transitioning, and then there's a transition after they have their babies, they stay in that home, and then they transition, into another program. Mm-hmm. But it's all, you know, the same to benefit. It's like a stair-stepping program for families in need or women that are in need that are pregnant, and then they transition, and the system helps them along the way, which I think is great. But I do have to ask, you know, you've said a lot. And so I need to understand what inspired bootstraps and bra straps. Because, I mean, as you know, Tina is an author. I'm an author. You're an author. I want to know what inspired bootstraps and bra straps.
Well, you know, they said the old saying that my grandparents would say, pick yourself up by the bootstraps. Let's go. And I said, okay. And then with grandma's clothing factory, this manufacturing the bras, I said, and for women, let's pull ourselves up by our bra straps and let's get going and get on track. Kind of just a fun play on the words. And the book goes into the boots formula, which is a way I have a formula that I use for every situation. And I go through different chapters. So there's a chapter on grieving and getting through the grieving process. My youngest son passed away in December. He had Wolf Parkinson disease, and it's a heart condition. And so from fifth grade on, you know, was one of those things where he could live a long life or he could just go to sleep and wake up. Mm-hmm. And that was something that he actually read the whole book before, and I put it on hold. And we had our own universal pause this year as a family going through that. But to get through the process and understand the process and have resources and people to connect with. So there's that. There's a chapter on getting through addictions and getting past that. So it goes through all the different tough situations, parenting your adult children and boundaries, working with people that may have a mental health situation, divorce, relationships. So I it's something that can be applied. So we're applying the boots to these tough situations and getting back on track.
Very, very interesting. Do you have any plans in the future to write another one or a sequel to after you've pulled up? Now what?
Yes. So I am working with my publisher on that. And I found my publisher because I was volunteering somewhere in a group with an incredible group of people. And they said, oh, introduce yourself, tell about what you're doing. And I mentioned the book and the publisher says, wow, okay, I need to talk with you. And that's kind of how that got started. And so I am working on actually two other ones. One is with my daughter. And so she's speaking to that age, to her 24-year-old, that age group, and it's mom and daughter. And we're going back and forth because she's also studying psychology. And so
nice,
fun with that. And yes, so that is in process, but it is a year out, you know.
Okay.
at how these books are. And I am enjoying every bit of it. And as I do these interviews with other people, I get information. I mean, I heard about 211 from some other interview that I was on. Actually, I was interviewing somebody on my show, and I heard about it, and I was like, wow, that is like, this is what I want. If one person out there is listening and just is able to get a resource or help, I mean, I have plenty of free gifts in each chapter, depending on what you need. There's free gifts that go along with it and resources. And now to just be able to share about that as well, so people can get the help they need, especially this year.
If there is someone right now listening, let's just say there's a group home worker listening to this podcast and someone in the group home could hear it, what would you say to them? What would your heart say to their heart? What would you want for them to know from you?
To a resident in the
group. To a resident, yes.
Okay. So what I would say is that you are loved and you are incredible. You have so much talent and gifts to give to the world. Mm. Don't ever give up. Stay on track because we need you. You are the leader.
Thank you. So I hope you guys heard that. And it doesn't matter. You don't even have to be in the group home, because there are sometimes us as adults, we need those words. You know, sometimes life is not always easy, and we don't always have support systems or people who can pat us on the back or who can cheer us on. And sometimes we don't have the energy to cheer ourselves on. So hearing your words, you speaking to them, I hope that that was able to bless somebody and that they actually take it to heart and actually believe in it.
So, you know, I'm going to also have to say that I commend your transparency for everything that you've gone through. And it is admirable for everything that you are doing. I think when people speak from the system, it resonates differently. So I have to ask, what are your goals for like the next 12 months? You put out this book and it's so transparent about, you know, being homeless and just, you know, not only pulling up bootstraps and bra straps. And I will have to tell you, as someone who's prior service, I hear pulling up bootstraps.
Yes.
I think bootstraps, you know, literal bootstraps. But I also advocate for anyone that I understand that bootstraps and bra straps is pulling up the struggle and overcoming the struggle. And, you know, because whether your boots are heavy, your back is heavy from your boobs, and you know what? And I will be honest, only heavy-chested women will understand, like, the struggle.
I don't understand that struggle.
Of what it takes to pull up your bra straps and the weight behind it. I really commend everything that you're doing. And so if, you know, I want to know, what do you have coming for people, for yourself, that you want people to know that you have coming out over the next, you know, year?
So some of the things I'm doing is right now I am donating a book for every book sold. It's on Amazon and Audible. So I donate one book to women's shelters. A lot of times they're women with children. Maybe they've gotten out of an abusive situation this year. Maybe they've been misplaced due to all these hurricanes or the fires, depending on where you live, or just COVID has happened and now they're in a situation that's really tough. I also have courses related to the chapters in the book. And so I'm giving free courses for those people that need it the most, and make sure to connect them with also the additional resources that they need that they may not have. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm working on this year.
Okay.
So if someone in another state was not necessarily local, what would be something if they wanted to, not your social media handles or anything like that, but just connect with you if they wanted to donate, if they wanted to give back to the cause, if they wanted to say, hey, I heard her on there, how can I help?
I would say you can go to my website and do a connect or a contact. And that way, that would be the best way to connect. And yes, I'm happy to help with whoever needs it out there as much as I can. And I know that in community, there's so much freedom, and we all need to come together in community this year to get back on track.
Is there a big support system out there for you? Like, because of what you're doing, do you seem like there's a big push and support around your efforts from the community?
Yes. And what has happened is people keep showing up, and I say yes to the next thing and the next thing, and everything shows up. And I think it's because, kind of like the gift store that I had years ago, when you're giving back and it's based on a heart-based program to help people, then everything shows up in perfect time.
Right when you need it.
Yes.
Of course. You know, and I think that's the main blessing, is always right when it needed. But so where can people connect with you at, reach out to you, get your book, get all the things that you have going on? Because I do think that they are powerful. Where can people connect with you at?
So the best place is if you go to www.sheilamac.com.
Okay, well, look, that's easy.
And there's lots of free videos and free resources there. So if you're going through something, you can watch those free videos. And lots of extra free gifts and resources for you.
Interesting. The gift that keeps on giving. See, all she wants to do is give, give, give. That's a blessing.
So you know what, Sheila, if you can just hang out with us just for a hold on just for a second. Okay. So close out this segment, and because we would love to get more information from you, I would definitely appreciate it.
Yes.
Okay, so just hang tight. Okay. And we're going to get back with you in just a second.
All right, thank you.
Oh my gosh, what do you think of that, Cortina? Oh my God, I loved her energy, everything.
I think it was absolutely great, because my mom's been in the foster care system for over 20 years. And so hearing that, it's always something that's also very close to my heart, because my mom is all she talks about. So I kind of had no choice. But I just think the work that she's doing is absolutely great and amazing. And that's what the world needs. Mm-hmm. That's what we need more of. We need more people who are willing to be selfless, who are willing to listen to the ones that maybe society has thrown away. Because oftentimes, you know, people say, oh, they're in foster care. Like, that means they're less than, or something like that. When you hear foster care, there's normally a negative connotation, you know, associated with it. And I think some of the work that she's doing and her telling her story is actually helping to break down some of those misconceptions or misconstrued perceptions that people may have about the foster care system and the people who are in it. So I think it's great. I think it's awesome.
You know what? I have to share the same sentiment, having a mom being a CASA, CADRA, you know, and all of those, she's regarded, you know, as such a grandmother to all of the family.
Yep.
I think that I love that even after she's done with people, that she still can bridge that gap. And her main concern is always for the kids, because that's what she advocates for. That's everything. And it makes me, it tears me up, because, you know, as somebody who does not physically have had kids, has an emotional connection to being a mom to many. And my sisters celebrate that. Mm-hmm. And so I live off of that I've made an impact in so many people's lives. And so, you know, it resonates differently with me. But, you know, it's so where.
But one thing I like that she does, she doesn't talk the talk, but she walks it. Like, she was in it.
Yeah.
Not only is she working with it, but she herself fostered 3 children. So it's like, how can you not listen to her? It's not like she's just telling you something that she heard. No, this is something that she lived and something that she's living. So being able to give back in that way and be a blessing to other children who were in her same shoes, that just makes my adoration for her grow even more.
Oh, of course, of course. So where can people find you at, Cortina, since we're down one member, but it's okay. Where can people find you at?
I can be found at The Girlfriend Therapist on all social media platforms and at TikTok's Emotional Expert on TikTok.
Okay, and you can find The Unapologetic Diva at on all platforms, also at IAMDRPGURLEY. I am Dr. P. Gurley. And of course, you can reach out to the Herspiration brand at Herspiration Happy Hour on Instagram and Facebook at Herspiration Happy Hour, and on Twitter at Herspiration HH, because their shit just not long enough. So you can't have so, you can only have so many characters. So it's Herspiration HH. I'm just saying. So, you know, but definitely connect. You're going to always have inspiring stories. You're going to always have great, authentic conversation from this platform, because one of the things that we represent is real people, real time, and having a presence that is going to affect the community, no matter the race, color, religion, you know, no matter what. We feel like everybody should have a voice here.
Yes.
And if you feel like, you know, you want to have somebody come on and be a part of our show, hit us in the DM, or you can also send an email to Herspiration Happy Hour, HERSPIRATION, Happy Hour, just what it says, Happy Hour, at gmail.com, because we do want to hear your stories and we do want you to have an impact on this world. So if you know someone who can represent that, we definitely want you on to share your story. And with that, we definitely appreciate you for coming by. Stop by for the next episode.
Cheers.